Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Benson, and today I'm flying solo recapping the conference championship round of the playoffs. And we had two kind of blowout games, to be honest with you. But, you know, those two blowout games have set up, I think, a tremendous Super Bowl, because there are some times when the games are close and then the Super Bowl's kind of meh because one team doesn't belong here. I have to say, both these teams 100% belong in the Super Bowl. The 49ers, I would say, were not expected to be here. They kind of came out of nowhere. The Chiefs, on the other hand, kind of were the favorite throughout the entire offseason into the season to come out of the AFC. So I think it's a fantastic Super Bowl matchup. We're going to talk very little about the actual matchup for the Super Bowl on today's episode, to be completely honest with you. Instead, we're going to focus more on the games that just occurred and how they played out, what the teams that are now out of it need to do this offseason, and kind of spin ahead to what this looks like for the Titans and the Packers next year, while also breaking down some of what happened within these games. And I think it's good to start with the AFC. The game started out in the Titans' favor. The Titans played a great first quarter. The script went basically to plan. Ryan Tannehill was able to hit a bunch of play-action passes. Corey Davis, who was a huge factor really throughout this playoff run for the Titans, credit to him. You know, I have kind of been critical of him throughout his career, and I don't think he's really ever shown up in the regular season. And there were points where I thought, oh, this guy's kind of a bust, but he showed up when it really counted. He showed up in the playoffs. He put up some big games in the, but not, you know, all-star games, but he was a solid contributor for the Titans in that game. 5 catches for 65 yards, and he had the touchdown catch against the Ravens. So while he kind of disappeared from the game plan against the Patriots, of course, most wide receivers did, as the playing that game was basically to run Derrick Henry down the Patriots' throat. The whole concept of Corey Davis going into next season, I think, is really interesting, because he did make some plays kind of down the stretch and in the playoffs, and it'll be interesting to see how they evaluate him. He's probably still kind of a slot wide receiver who can give you kind of a wide receiver three, as the personnel type people will have you call it, type production. But I think overall he's a solid player who can improve, and with a good quarterback was shown to take steps in the right direction. I guess we could talk now about Ryan Tannehill. In this game, I know there was some criticism that he had two balls that kind of hit the turf, and there was some criticism about Ryan Tannehill playing in cold weather, but I honestly thought he looked okay. I thought he made some good throws throughout this game. He looked especially good in the first half. I get they kind of slowed down in the second quarter, but I think Ryan Tannehill played an okay game. Did he play the game they needed for him to win? Did he play the kind of game you want out of necessarily a franchise all-star that'll take you to the promised land? No, probably not. But 209 yards and 2 touchdowns is still a pretty good outing for Ryan Tannehill, only 10 incompletions. I think that he did not play poorly, and he was certainly not the reason Titans lost this game. The reason they did lose this game was because after a really productive first quarter, Derrick Henry was pretty much taken out of this game. 19 rushes for 69 yards and a touchdown. He was really kind of a non-factor in the second half. And that Chiefs defensive line that talked smack all week about how it was easy to tackle Derrick Henry, I really thought that was going to end up really poorly for them, but they were good. They shut down the running game, and the Chiefs linebackers and defensive line are to be commended. They took care of business against Derrick Henry, and they didn't let him through. So they never gave up that kind of backbreaking run to put away the game for the Titans. So I think that overall the Titans played the Chiefs defense played really, really well. Breshad Breeland in the secondary had some really nice plays. Daniel Sorensen with that huge hit on Ryan Tannehill on his quarterback run that kind of really set the defensive tone and was kind of the last stand for the Chiefs and took the Titans out of that game. The Chiefs defense played really well. They really went into this offseason with the idea that we need to better our defense to go and get to a Super Bowl. So they brought in Frank Clark. They brought in Terrell Suggs at the midway point. They brought in Tyrann Mathieu. And all those additions paid off in spades, and it really showed up, and now the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. So you have to commend the Kansas City front office because they did an excellent job of picking out their weaknesses, which was definitely the defense last year, and then filling in those needs with star players, including an all-pro, in my opinion, in Tyrann Mathieu. So it was a really good offseason for the Chiefs. I think a lot of credit has to go to their team builders for setting up the way kind of this team played out. The defense looked amazing here. It's going to have to look amazing again if they're going to want to shut down San Francisco's potent running game, which we'll get to in just a second here. But the defense looked really good. Ryan Tannehill looked okay in this game. Derrick Henry was completely taken out of it. And A.J. Brown had a good game in this game. He had kind of not been as much of a focal point in the first two games, but three receptions for 51 yards on that first drive, a 37-yard reception where he made a bunch of defenders miss, and he looked really good. I thought A.J. Brown played a relatively good game. He was covered really well by the Chiefs corners, and despite 24 points, the Titans were kind of smothered from about the second half of the second quarter on. They were really shut down, and that credit has to go to the Chiefs defense. They played really well, but you can't talk about this game without talking about the absolute best quarterback football, and that's Patrick Mahomes. It is unreal how many great throws this guy makes. The most wow throw, of course, will be that 63-yard touchdown pass to Sammy Watkins, but he had several to Kelce where he just kind of buys time with his feet and hits Kelce in the soft spot of the zone. Like, so much of what Patrick Mahomes is doing right now is with his mind, and I think that's so underrated. This guy's mind is at the level of one of these great quarterback thinkers like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. He's seeing the defense like this, and being in year three of this system, year two starting, I think it's really starting to slow down for him, and that's insanely scary if you're the NFL because he is – he's the best, and I know that I go back and forth between he and Russell Wilson on this podcast a lot. I get Russell Wilson has nothing around him. I get that argument, but Patrick Mahomes, to me, I'd take him over Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson's probably not even 1B. He's probably straight up 2, because I just think Patrick Mahomes makes throws Russell Wilson can't make, and he showed today and has really shown since week 17 what he can do with his legs. I think his legs are just as good as Russell Wilson's. He was fantastic. He had the, 32-ish yard touchdown run where he spins away from a guy, trucks some guys. It truly put the team on his back to take the lead going into halftime. And at that moment, you just knew it was over for the Titans because Patrick Mahomes was just on fire in this game, only missed 10 passes, had 294 yards and 3 touchdowns, 53 yards with his legs and a touchdown. This guy's awesome. He could legitimately go down as the greatest quarterback of all time. And I don't think it's that hot of a take to say that. I think he could certainly outdo the numbers that a Peyton Manning has put up, that Tom Brady has put up throughout his career. I think it's a bit – he was injured this year. I think that if he doesn't have – if he doesn't have the injury, I truly think he's close to a 40-touchdown thrower. Again, I know he only had, I believe it was 26 touchdowns this year in the regular season. I think if he had been healthy the full amount of games, he definitely would have thrown closer to 40. And He's going to be great for years to come, and I think he can win another MVP, and I think he can win a Super Bowl. I don't know who – I legitimately don't know who I'm picking for the Chiefs and 49ers yet. I'm going to be really careful about what I say on this one just because I want to say that for next week. This will be the only podcast out this week, but next week, as per usual, we will have three podcasts, one doing Super Bowl media night. We'll have a second one previewing the game. And then, of course, hopefully, I can't promise anything because my work schedule might get a little bit funky. If I'm working the game, I might have to break tradition and bring the Super Bowl preview, the Super Bowl recap on the Monday after the Super Bowl, which I don't really want to do, but just the way that my work schedule might line up, might keep me in that. Unless I can record the podcast at work after I'm done, which I haven't ruled out yet. I was going to email my boss and ask him that, but I can't really do that until I get the schedule for next week. For all I know, I might not be covering the Super Bowl, but I get a gut feeling I'm going to be the producer for the Super Bowl. So if you're in Salt Lake City, listen to 1280 The Zone, 97.5. FM 1280 AM, and you can hear the Super Bowl, and I will be producing that, playing some local ads, so enjoy that if you can. But anyways, back to this game. I just think Patrick Mahomes is incredible right now, and he's at the height of his powers, and he could very well be one of the best we've ever seen do this, and I think he really replaced Aaron Rodgers this weekend as this kind of gunslinging, wow throw, escapability type quarterback. And I think what prime Aaron Rodgers was, Patrick Mahomes now is doubly so because I think he has a better arm than Rodgers does. It's just incredible how good this guy is for how young he is. And he's got a long career ahead of him, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Hopefully he avoids injuries and things like that. But I think he could have a massive career in the long run. And I think it'll be really interesting to see where Patrick Mahomes ends up. So the Chiefs are moving on to the Super Bowl. Oh, gotta feel good for Andy Reid, by the way, one of those coaches that just deserves to have a Super Bowl, and it'll be great to see him coaching in the big game. He called a great game in this game, and the offense was good. The running game started to get going towards the end of the game, and look out, if Kansas City can start running the ball, they're pretty unstoppable. Damian Williams had 45 yards on 17 carries. Most of those, I believe, came in the third and fourth quarter. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get that going against the 49ers, who, of course, have all those really speedy linebackers. But again, getting too much into it, we'll get into more of that next week. The Titans, what they've got to do this offseason, a lot of key pieces. Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Jack Conklin. I'd imagine that Conklin will kind of be the top priority. They want to keep that offensive line intact. And then I know people are against signing running backs, but I really do think that Derrick Henry is such an integral part of what you have to do here, and he's different than other running backs. Like, he can run through guys. It's not so much his legs, it's the way he uses his body that makes him an effective running back. And I would re-sign him, maybe not to a Todd Gurley level deal. I think teams have learned that by now, but I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't let him walk in free agency. I think a franchise tag might be in order. And Ryan Tannehill, who knows? It just kind of depends on. There are going to be a lot of available quarterbacks if some of these older free agent guys leave, like Philip Rivers, like Tom Brady, like even potentially Drew Brees. There are going to be Teddy Bridgewater, maybe. There are going to be a lot of free agent guys on the open market who. I'm not sure if any of those guys are better than what Ryan Tannehill gave you through the second half of the season. And maybe you could say playing in cold weather is his kryptonite. That's fine. But if this team had a full season with Ryan Tannehill, I truly believe they would have gotten a home game. Maybe not a one or a two seed, but they would have gotten a home game in the playoffs. And I think that Ryan Tannehill in the cold in Baltimore threw just fine. So, I would re-sign Ryan Tannehill. I think he's a good option to be your starting quarterback there. If Marcus Mariota needs to walk, which he'll probably want to do because he probably thinks he can be a starter somewhere else, that's fine. But if you can keep Mariota as your backup, I think that's also great. The Titans have a lot to do this offseason, and they're a really interesting team to watch during this kind of offseason period, I think. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on them. Shout out to Trey. Sorry your team lost, my man. We will get him on in the offseason more to talk about the Titans a little bit. All right, let's get to the NFC side of things and the 49ers' absolutely dominant running performance. You can't really say more than that. That's because that's really what happened. The Niners just decided we are going to run the ball. Everyone's seen the stat. Jimmy G only threw the ball 8 times, 6 completions, 77 yards, some really nice throws, by the way. Debo Samuel, there has not been a. We'll talk about the passing game really quick. There has not been a player I've been more wrong on this offseason and into this season than Debo Samuel. I kind of thought he was just a flashy dude from Clemson that wouldn't really pan out in the NFL. I was completely wrong. This guy's good, and I think he's only going to get better with age. And I think if the Niners can keep Sanders and Debo after whatever happens in the Super Bowl, I think they have an excellent shot of getting back here next year. If because I think the Niners honestly have a great chance of keeping their roster intact going forward for the next few years here. So this was a huge win for them. This could be the start of a potential kind of NFC championship dynasty run. Because honestly, if they keep their free agents like Emmanuel Sanders this offseason, I see them back in this game next year. That's how just how good they are. And it large credit goes to Kyle Shanahan because Raheem Mostert, who has been cut by like 7 different teams, ran for 29 times, 220 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's insane. That is insane for a running back to do that in the playoffs. And the Packers just got run over. The defense that had been good throughout most of the year and had probably been their best part just got totally smoked by the 49ers. And that's a problem. And I don't think Mike Pettine keeps his job, to be honest with you. I haven't heard much out of Green Bay, but I wouldn't keep him after what just happened. This was the biggest game of the year, and your guys came out completely flat, and all that big money you spent didn't really matter because the 49ers just ran wild on you, and the offense, which we'll get to in a second, just couldn't keep up, which is crazy. The Niners are really insane running the football, and if they are playing like a 1930s football team, and that's kind of a wild way to play football at this point, but it keeps the ball out of high-flying offenses' hands. And there could not be a worse offense-to-offense matchup, I think, than the Chiefs against the 49ers. What I mean by that is it's I think it's bad for the Chiefs because the 49ers, man, they can run that ball. They can hold on to it for a long time. Again, it's getting too far into it, but they killed the Packers in time of possession. It was an ugly game, and it was impressive to watch them run over the Green Bay Packers and basically make them look like a JV team. The defense really had zero answers for the Niners. Tevin Coleman, who dislocated his shoulder in this game, had some good runs as well. They used Debo Samuel effectively in the running game. He had some nice runs, 2 for 43 yards. Kyle Shanahan's just one of the best offensive coaches in the game. He's kind of replaced McVay after the Rams fell off a little bit as this hot new young head coach. And I cannot believe Robert Saleh is not a head coach, because what this defense did was absolutely incredible. But their linebackers are so, so, so fast. Trey Greenwald, Fred Warner, Kiko Alonso. Their linebackers are insanely fast. They run around the field so quick, and I thought that when this team cut Reuben Foster a few years back, I thought, oh, well, they're missing speed at linebacker. They have built a fast linebacking core, like speedy quick. They've been this way all year, but it really came to the forefront in this game, and man, they looked great. Richard Sherman played another great game. I get he got beat by Davante Adams once, but other than that, including the game-clinching interception, he really shut the Packers down. And the Niners had a great game. They just played their best game of the season when it counted. And credit to the Niners. Let's talk about the Packers for a second. Aaron Rodgers' stat line looks good. 31 of 39, 326 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Aaron Rodgers did not play a good game. He is arguably the reason they lost. He threw 2 terrible interceptions that really put the game away for the Niners. Scored on both of them, I believe. It's been a tough year for Aaron Rodgers. And can you blame it all on Aaron Rodgers? I don't think so, but I think you definitely have to look at him. You can't really argue. He was never a top five quarterback this year. Maybe week 7 when he blew out the Raiders. Maybe those few weeks with the Raiders and Lions, but back-to-back, I believe. But, man, in the second half of the season, I didn't even think he was a top 10 quarterback, to be honest with you. And I love Aaron Rodgers. I think I'm the biggest Aaron Rodgers apologist there is, but you have to look at the facts of this entire year and say, man, he just played poorly. He played poorly throughout the season and couldn't keep up with what he needed to do. The Packers got lucky to win 13 games. They won a lot of close one-score games, and their defense took most of those wins, and Aaron Jones was a big part of it. And Aaron Jones in this game got shot down, 12 runs, 56 yards. 1 touchdown, but the Niners got ahead and they had to abandon the run. And the Packers were best this year when they were using Aaron Jones and they were a running team and things were coming off the play action. The Packers have to add pieces this offseason. They have to add offensive pieces, because I think it's fair to ask, is Aaron Rodgers starting to decline? Because he showed signs last year, and you can blame the coach all you want, but Aaron Rodgers was not good under Mike McCarthy. He looked like he didn't care. He looked like he threw passes away. I said this throughout the offseason. I kind of got killed for it by our good friend Brian Willis, but he did not look good under Mike McCarthy. He has not looked good the past 2 years. He has kind of given up on plays, and he's not the same guy as he was a few years ago, and he needs a mentality change, I think, desperately. And more weapons. And the guy that I just keep thinking about, I know it's highly unlikely, but Amari Cooper, man. If Amari Cooper was ever like, I'm going to go get paid more than Dallas will pay me, and I'm going to go play with one of the greats. And that, nothing against Dak Prescott. He played like a top 10 quarterback this year. But Amari Cooper might be thinking, hey, man, the Packers give me a better chance to win a Super Bowl than the Cowboys do. Look how close they were. I think that Amari Cooper to the Packers makes a lot of sense. And if they don't get him, I think they need to draft guys. And I think they need to get a new tight end for that matter, because Jimmy Graham was terrible this year. He didn't make any impact plays, really. Alan Lazard cannot be your number two guy. And I was wrong on them. I thought that these guys would step up. I thought Geronimo Allison would step up. I really thought Marquez Valdes-Scantling was going to be good, but he just isn't it. And this core can't stick around for another year. They got to blow it up and get some new pieces. And maybe they got to make some trades this offseason. Maybe there's some guys that are going to be out on the market trade-wise. Maybe you do a sign-and-trade deal with Amari Cooper. I'm thinking of just maybe some other guys that are on the trade block. Maybe you look to a Jacksonville and you say, hey, D.D. Westbrook is kind of undervalued. He would be a solid addition here. Or you look at a team like maybe even the Browns, who are under kind of a new coach and new management, and say, hey, what would it take to get Jarvis Landry? They just need a second guy, because Davante Adams, for as great as he is, when he gets taken out by double teams, they have no one else to go to, and Aaron Rodgers really struggles. And Aaron Rodgers' best throws this year came to Davante Adams. So they need a second guy desperately to kind of open up the playbook a little bit. And I hope they get it, because I secretly kind of love the Packers, and I love Aaron Rodgers, but they cannot go into next year again with no wide receivers, because we saw it in this game. It didn't work. It didn't work out. So anyways, that's kind of it. I know that these are shorter when I do them solo. I hope there's just as much content. I try to talk kind of nonstop for at least half an hour, which is kind of hard for me to do at points, but I think I'm getting better at it as I do a few more of these solo shows. A little bit about our schedule over the next few weeks. We're going to have our week off. Enjoy the Pro Bowl Saturday. I know I will be producing it for my job, so I'll probably talk about it. Maybe I'll talk about it on the podcast a little bit. Probably not, though. But everyone loves the Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl is the biggest game of the year, as they say, you know. So maybe we will cover it here. Who knows? That kind of just depends. Next week, we'll come in. I don't know when Super Bowl media night is. I want to say it's Tuesday. So I want to say we'll have shows Wednesday, Thursday, and then a recap show Sunday night late, or on Monday, which should be a good time. Man, it is crazy here in Salt Lake City. I've got all these classes, a bunch of reading stuff. Just to give you a peek inside every personal life, I'm taking a bunch of these English classes. Man, they're kind of kicking my butt. I'm reading all these romantic poets right now. And man, these guys were rock stars. I mean, if they could get into the history books by just smoking crap tons of opium and getting way drunk with each other on these long holidays. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I do neither of those things, so I should be better off than them. So anyways, that's just a weird thought on the romantic poets on a football team. But hey, it's getting close to the offseason. That's what you get. So that's kind of a way this is going to play out. We're going to take our customary break off after the Super Bowl. So probably only one pod the week of that, of the second, to the eighth. And then, we'll just kind of wait and see. Basically, when the first major news hits of the off season, when people start throwing trades around or something intense happens, that's kind of when we'll come back. I'm thinking about trying to maybe do a mini series on free agent needs for teams for both the AFC and the NFC side. Don't know if that's gonna come to fruition, but it's something I'd like to do. I'd like to have one of the people I know we have a lot of guests on to this podcast, obviously. I'd like to have one person kind of from each division come on for maybe 10, 15 minutes and talk about some of the team's needs and some of the matches they find interesting. And then as soon as you know it, free agency's time. And then after free agency, of course, we'll do a few shows on free agency, take a little break, maybe do a few draft previews. We'll talk about the combine, of course, but combine week, of course, we'll probably be back the week of the combine just because a lot of stuff comes out then. The news conferences are always really enlightening with all the GMs and coaches. That's honestly one of my favorite events of the year just because you get to hear coaches and executives talk about team building and kind of what they envision going forward. And some rumors kind of get going and you can kind of start putting things together. So I'm excited to take a look at that. Throw in a little bit of news here. Jason Garrett, I know this is a bit old. Jason Garrett added to the Giants staff. I think it's a good hire for Joe Judge. It'll be interesting to see what Garrett brings to that offense. I know he kind of wore out his wear in Dallas, but maybe a change of position is what he needs. And he can refocus and maybe retool his offense a little bit. I think Daniel Jones would be a perfect fit for a Jason Garrett offense, to be quite honest with you. He's not a guy that is conducive to taking a ton of shots. His deep accuracy is to be improved upon, I suppose. Kevin Stefanski added as the head coach for Cleveland Browns. They got the last pick of the coaching carousel. It's that simple. And the fact they didn't hire Eric Bieniemy is disgraceful, to be completely honest with you. Eric Bieniemy has led the best offense in the NFL, and people who say he doesn't call plays are stupid because Andy Reid has said he calls plays. You can see him on the sideline clearly calling plays. So I really hope for the sake of Eric's, that Eric Bieniemy gets a job at some point, because I will be a supporter of whatever team he gets signed to, because we need more Eric's in the NFL. And I think that's about all the NFL news that there has been recently. A lot of good things going on in sports right now. The NFL kind of winding down. So it's good as always. I'm going to get out of here. Hope you enjoyed. Please leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined. Would appreciate it a lot. Give this podcast episode a retweet if you want. Follow us at Endzone Pod. Follow me on Twitter at Eric18Utah. I tweet about football most of the time. Some weird dream stuff. I had a dream some random guy at a bar ate my pizza last night. I didn't do anything about it, but in thinking back, you know, I probably should have fought the guy. Who does that? Who just takes another man's pizza? And with that, I'll leave you. Who just takes
Follow
another man's
Follow us on Twitter
pizza?
At Endzone Pod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want to shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.